Well, Kelly, I agree with you. It is the most wonderful time of the year as we hear songs being sung about. And what a great blessing it is. What a wonderful blessing it is that our world, our secular world, takes a moment to pause and to sing such great songs and hymns of joy in Jesus Christ and in his birth. And maybe we can even move a little bit into his life and his death, burial, and resurrection as well. I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think it gives us a great opportunity to be reminded of the giving spirit, because that spirit begins with God, who gave his one and only unique begotten Son. And so I think that's one of the reasons why we like to give gifts around this time of year, and how God gave us the greatest gift of all, as our shepherd Grant Knight shared earlier. What an incredible moment to be able to celebrate your giving over these last couple of weeks or so towards this special contribution. I have a feeling that's not over yet, but it is a wonderful blessing and such great works that will be going and will be helped because of your generosity, which makes you a part of all of the good that is done. It's just a remarkable thing, the sacrifice and the generosity of this church family every Sunday throughout the year, but even at the end of the year, like we have seen over these last several years, including this year. What a great, great blessing. You are to be commended for that, and we'll be able to see the good and the fruit that comes from this giving for a long time to come. We think about the names that are applied to Jesus, especially around the stories of the birth narrative. I shared some of this in some of our staff devotionals this month. We heard it mentioned earlier today. The name Emmanuel comes from Isaiah 7, and it means God with us. And when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, it was incredible because it fulfilled a prophecy that maybe anybody wasn't quite sure was even a prophecy still, that God would be with us in a very special, remarkable, extraordinary, miraculous way. And Jesus is with us, and he has been with us. Also, the term Bethlehem, not a name, of course, of Jesus, but that special prophecy from Micah chapter 5, hundreds of years before it happened, knowing that Jesus would be born, knowing that his parents would be of the tribe of Judah, knowing that they would have to go back home because of a secular Roman census, knowing that it would be in that little town of Bethlehem that we sang about earlier, where the Savior would be born. What an incredible, incredible term. But today I want us to think of the term and the name Jesus. Jesus. The term actually means the Lord saves, or Jehovah saves. It's related to the term, to the name Joshua, similar there. But the name Jesus literally means the Lord saves, or Jehovah saves. And it's a remarkable name that's given to the one who is not just the Lord, but also the Savior. And it's the name that is above all names, and it's the name that is proclaimed and is worshiped and has been for over 2,000 years. Since that moment when the angel announced it, Jesus the Lord saves. So a few things about this Jesus and this name today. First of all, Jesus is announced. Jesus is announced. Luke gives us the story of Mary hearing this news. Matthew gives us the story of Joseph hearing this news. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary, this young woman, probably mid to late teenager, and he tells her, you're going to become pregnant, and you're going to be with child, and this child is going to be the Savior. And Mary says, that just can't be right. And the angel says, well, it's right. You have been blessed by God. You are going to bring forth the Savior. And he will save his people. And because he is going to save his people, that's what you're going to name him. You're going to name him Jesus. Well, when Joseph first heard this news, it was from Mary. And they were betrothed to be married, which the Jews would recognize as something that was very, very significant in their relationship. And when Mary told Joseph this story, Joseph had a hard time believing it. He loved her so much, but he just couldn't believe this incredible tale. And so he said, well, I can't marry you, but you know, I'm not going to humiliate you. We're just going to end this thing in a very quiet, private way. But before he did that, an angel of the Lord came to Joseph. And Matthew records that, and he says, she's telling you the truth. Don't be afraid to take her as your wife, because she has been completely faithful to you. And what is growing inside of her will be called the Son of God. It will be God with us, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Well, when Joseph heard that, he went back to Mary, and I'm sure he apologized, and I'm sure he said, okay, we're in this thing together, babe, and we will do this. The Lord has called you. The Lord has called us. We will do this, no matter what price we have to pay with our family and our friends, which I'm sure was significant. Because it was only Mary and Joseph that the angel appeared to and said, you're going to have a baby. All the people that they told, all the people that saw her throughout this pregnancy, they didn't get that angelic message. But Mary and Joseph did. Jesus is announced. And then the great occasion, Luke records in Luke chapter 2, Jesus is born. These very familiar words in Luke 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. You know, if somebody was making up a story, they wouldn't have so many details provided, don't you think? Because it's too easy to check up on them. It's too easy to find the places where maybe there are some questions that we can ask about it. But Luke and the other gospel writers, especially Luke, I think, are great about providing the details. Why? Because God wants us to believe this story. And Luke shares this story for us. Luke 2, verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Long before this time, hundreds and hundreds of years before this time, you have Abraham and Sarah, you have Isaac and Rebekah, you have Jacob and Esau, and you have Jacob with 12 sons, and one of those 12 sons was Judah, and it was that man who became the ancestor of Jesus of Nazareth. And so long before any of these things ever took place, God knew that they were going to take place, and he knew that this is where they would go. And that's where Joseph and Mary went, 9 months pregnant. I think it's 90 miles or so, which to us sounds like an hour and a half trip. Not quite so in the first century. But there they went. And there they were. Verse 5 of Luke 2. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So probably not a barn, maybe a lower level of a house, but it was certainly the place where the animals were kept. And when Jesus was born, he was wrapped in cloths and he was placed in that feeding trough where the animals ate. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Matthew gives us one line in chapter 1 about the birth of Jesus. Mark doesn't give us any bit about it. But John gives us this very important verse in John 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He had already said at the very beginning that this word that he is talking about was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That this Word was the Creator. And then in verse 14, he says, and this Word became flesh. He was born into this world. And he lived for a while among us, and we saw his glory, and he was full of grace and truth. Like no one else had ever seen before. Jesus is born. But a story this big, this beautiful, this wonderful can't be kept to yourself. And so Jesus is worshiped. And he's worshiped, first of all, in Luke chapter 2 by the angels. The angel goes to the shepherds in the field and they announces it. Today in the city of David is born to you a Savior. He's Christ the Lord. But the news is too good. It's too big. And the angelic hosts can't keep quiet about it. And so heaven erupts above these shepherds. And it's not just one angel. Now it's a multitude of angels that are praising God because they're seeing his plan enacted. And here it comes. And it comes in the form of this baby wrapped in cloths, in a manger. You go see him. And the shepherds, when the angels go away, they look at each other and they say, oh, we got to go. I mean, we got to go. You sheep, you guys hang in there, but we're out. And they go and they find it exactly like the angel said it they would. And just as the angels worshiped Jesus, the shepherds worship Jesus. And again, there's great, great joy. J-O-Y. Because God put us before himself. That's why we sing joy to the world. That's why we sing joyful, joyful, we adore thee. That's why Christians should be known for joy, for rejoicing. Because we have so much to be happy about. We have so much to be joyful over. In Luke chapter 2, it continues on when later on when they take him to Jerusalem, to the temple. There's a man who has been waiting for this. He had been told by God that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's salvation. And when Joseph and Mary come with Jesus, perhaps maybe about 6 weeks old or so, they come and they bring him. And Simeon goes and he takes that baby in his arms and he looks up to heaven and he says, okay, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. Take me anytime you want now because my eyes have seen your salvation. And it was in the form of this tiny baby born in the most humble of circumstances. The prophet Anna, the same way. She came and told everyone who would hear what was ahead for this baby. What was ahead for his parents as well. And then Matthew leads us. Matthew is the only one that records the story of the wise men, the magi. Coming from the east, they saw a star. This is probably even later now. They're probably in a house of some sort. They found that room that they couldn't find the night of his birth. And now they're there and the wise men, the magi, they come and they bring gifts. How many are there? I don't know. Maybe 3, maybe 2, maybe 10. I don't know. Doesn't matter. All they knew is that there was somebody special that was born, the King of the Jews, and they were going to go and they were going to see him and they were going to worship him and they were going to bring gifts to him, and that's exactly what they did. Jesus is announced. Jesus is born. Jesus is worshiped. All because Jesus is Savior. Just like his name says, Jesus saves. Grant called it the greatest gift, and that certainly is true. Kelly reminded us of the great terms that are associated with his coming and his birth. The joy that we have, the rejoicing that we do. Because of this greatest of gifts. To Mary, the angel says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. to Joseph, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then in Luke 2, after Jesus is born, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. The angel had told Mary, the angel had told Joseph, and now it was time to give this baby a name. And they named him Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. John writes in John chapter 3, that great verse in verse 16, for God so what? Loved, but loved who? The world. That he did what? He gave. He gave. And because he gave, now we have received, and so we too can give. Jesus came and he is the Savior. He gave his life on the cross and he was raised from the dead on the third day. And then later he ascended up to heaven and now he is there at the right hand of God until that day we spoke about earlier when he says, come. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. That day may come before the end of this invitation song, or that day may still be 2,000 years away. I don't know, but this I know. Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world, all the not so little children of the world. Jesus loves you. And Jesus wants to save you. God came from heaven to earth so that we could know him. And so this is our prayer, Jesus, the one who saves, let us come to know you. If we can help you do that, come as we sing this great song and stand and sing together.